praise the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for this day that you have made, and it is a new day, and it is a day in which we can seek you and search for you, listen to you, and to praise you and to worship you. Father, you've given us this day as a gift. And Lord, not only is this day a gift given to us, but also this meeting and this word that we now partake of. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to carry on with our teaching. I believe the Lord would have us to have another teaching today on our sixth sense, faith. Our sixth sense, that is faith. And I believe the Lord's really blessing us through these teachings. And again, we're learning a lot more about faith. And it just seems to be endless, doesn't it? But we're really basing this, aren't we, on Hebrews 11, verse 1, and Mark 11, 24. And say Mark 11, 24, and Hebrews 11, 1. And also, if you remember last week, we were carrying on in looking at our inheritance and what the Lord has left for us, that we are indeed to inherit a blessing in this life, and also is to go on in eternity as well. And I think he's just merely opening our eyes more to see what is our inheritance, what he has got for us laid up, because I still think we limit the Lord. We still get too bound by looking at circumstances and listening to the news and the negative and all those things that seem to be so constantly around us. Yet we do need to be reminded of what God has for us. Because you see, I think that the church certainly wants to gain a vision. The church today certainly wants to look at the bigness of God. But you know, there are two ways that you can look at the bigness of God. You can do it through the carnal, or you can be shown it by the Spirit. And we know the things that go so very wrong when man today looks and interprets it wrong. They'll always get a wrong understanding of the bigness of God. But if you are in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, keeping with the Word and in prayer, you will be taught how big God is. And it's far different to what man is promoting. Because the moment man gets an understanding of the bigness of God, the first thing he wants to do is he wants to build a big tower. That's what he wants to do. And God says, I'm fed up with these Babels. These Tower of Babels. Because they all come to nothing at the end of the day. And what does it breed? These towers of Babel. What does it breed? Confusion. And that's what Babel did in Genesis. God says, right, I'll go down and I'll confuse them. What did he confuse them in? Communication. Speaking. Language. You see? And that's what it does. That's what happens when man tries to look at the bigness of God in the carnal, in the natural, and he will become confused, and all those that he influences are confused as well. That is why a lot of denominationalism today is so confused, because it has a wrong conception of the bigness of God. Now, God, of course, wants us to see his vastness, his bigness. I believe it's very good. I believe it's very healthy. I believe it keeps us moving on. It keeps us fighting the good fight of faith. But we must make sure that as we look at the bigness of God, we must be balanced in this, and scriptural, and in the Spirit. As it's going to go very, very wrong, my friends. Because I do believe that God in this hour, this year, is beginning to show us yet more of his greatness, his bigness. And in that, he's going to show you exactly where your inheritance is as well. You see? So we trust that the Lord will help us with this. But we were looking at several areas last week, weren't we? We were looking at the sense realm. Why it is at times that we're still affected by the senses and the problems that are involved with this. And then we looked in Scripture as to how Jesus constantly kept away from the senses, from the five senses. Even though he was affected by the five senses, yet the walk of faith, where believing and so forth, he kept that sixth sense of faith, he kept in that realm, And he would not let his feelings or circumstances ever affect the realm of faith, that sixth sense. And we looked at many scriptures at this and cited those last week, didn't we? Well, we're going to carry on with this, as I've said. And I think this is probably the last teaching for this. But as you know, we have been looking, haven't we, at Hebrews 11. One, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've also been looking, haven't we, at Mark 11, 24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have it. And we've seen that faith is using what belongs to us. That's why God has given you that sixth sense of faith. It is using and applying that which is legally yours. That which is being left to you in Christ's will. And it's up to you whether you want to receive it, you see. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I wish it was like a will that one can have in this life. Because if there's something left to you, it may take a time for it all to be settled up, but eventually the check will come through the post. But you see, you have to sign a few documents in order to receive that. It doesn't just come like that. You've got to prove that, yes, you are the one to the will. Sometimes you have to show your birth certificate and various things like that. So there's a bit of red tape involved, but eventually you'll get your inheritance, you see. And so this is exactly what the devil tries to do. He tries to hinder us with so-called paperwork, doesn't he? And we think, oh, I can't be bothered with that. I'm not going to sit down for an hour and read all the small print. You know, it's my inheritance, blah, blah, blah. But you see, there are conditions to your inheritance. And the devil will try and hinder you. And you know, sometimes people, you know, they get fed up with the small print. We've got fed up, haven't we, with the small print? You know? I mean, nothing in this life is straightforward. Now, there are some people who love filling in forms and love reading all the small print, but there are a lot of people who don't like reading it. I must confess, I'm one of them. If I can avoid reading all the small print, I will. I can't be bothered with it. And at times it's so worded in such a way that it's not easy, is it? It's complicated. I mean, I remember going to my solicitor when dealing with wills and various things, and oh dear, she started reading out some things. And she sort of looked at me and smiled. She said, you don't really understand that, do you? I said, no, I don't. I said, how do you understand? Well, she said, that's years of training. She said, sometimes it's complicated. Law makes it very complicated. But you've got to read every word and decipher it and understand it, you see. And sometimes solicitors can be like that when they write your will out or whatever it is. Have you ever tried reading it? Oh, my. It's complicated, you know, the wording. But there we are, that's the legal profession. They speak their own language. I suppose those that will come into a meeting like this and say, hey, those Christians, they speak their own language. We don't understand it, you see. But we understand, or should be understanding, the word of God and the call and message and teaching of faith. But nevertheless, there is an inheritance that we have. And it's up to us that we meet the conditions in order to receive it. And I do not understand Christians who just do not have any hunger or really any desire for their inheritance. I'm pretty convinced that if you got word that some aunt or some uncle or grandmother or grandfather had left you a legacy of £20,000, that'd soon make your ears prick up, wouldn't it? Eh? My, that'd make you sit up quick. Would you say that again? Yes. You've got an inheritance of 20,000 coming to you. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the old mind starts working. Well, now what are we going to do with this? You know? Yet here it is. Do you get just as excited when you read the Word of God? That's not only in this life, but it's also eternity. That's something a will in this life can't give you, and that's something for eternity. It's only for this world. And Jesus has left us still in this world for one purpose, to inherit that which he has given you. That's why he's left us still in the world. Oh yes, he could have taken us home into glory. But he says, no, you've got an inheritance. As well as him working in our lives, working in our characters, bringing holiness in our lives. But all of this is part of your inheritance. I'll just remind you of this in John 17. John chapter 17, verse 8 onwards. John 17, verse 8 onwards. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. There you are. So God the Father gave Jesus the word, the inheritance, gave him the will, and he said, now you go and give it to them. And so Jesus is absolutely confident as he's now preparing his heart to go to the cross. He said, Father, I've given them the lot. I've given them all that you have given me to give to them. I've given them the words which thou gavest, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou gavest me, for they are thine. So the Father has given Jesus a seed as a gift, and he says, now go and give them my word, that they may see what they have, that what I want to give them. See? And all are mine, and mine are thine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus clearly says, I've been in the world, but I'm no longer in it anymore. He knew exactly where he was going. He was going back home. But he said, they're not. They're still staying in the world. Why are we still staying in the world? It's very simple, so that we can start to inherit, what the Father has given to Christ, who has left in his will to us. You see? Now, if there was nothing to be left in this world, then he would take us home. But that's clearly not the case. He says, my inheritance, he says, that which I'm going to give to them, that which I'm going to share with them is so great, that it's not just for eternity, but it's also for this life as well. He's got so much blessing that he can share enough of it also in this life. That's why he's left you and I here, you see, to receive it. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the world hates the word of God, but he says, those who are called by me love my words. So you see, the world doesn't want these blessings. The world doesn't want to be a partaker of Christ's will. It says they hate it. Sad, isn't it? That there are many be dying today on their deathbed hating the word of God. Not wanting it. Not wanting eternal life. It's tragic. But the Father says, I've given you a seed. So he says he knows there's going to be some who will inherit, who will receive, who will want it. You see? I'll tell you, it can be very, very sad, this. I prayed not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. So that's what Jesus prayed. He said, no, they're staying in the world. I'm going to pray that the devil won't destroy them. And the reason he's not going to destroy them, because there's an inheritance that they're to have. There's a blessing that they're to have. And it's no point if you're going to be destroyed, you can't receive your inheritance, can you? Makes sense, doesn't it? So why do you get fearful when the devil comes around growling and says, I'm going to take your life? Why don't you retort back and say, oh no, you're not Satan. I've been left a legacy. I've been left an inheritance. And that's got to be fulfilled. So you're a liar. Leave in the name of Jesus. Oh, he'll go. He doesn't like to hear that one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. So he says, to receive this, of course, you have to be sanctified. And the word of God is going to sanctify you. What is that? Separate you. So you've got to be separated in order to receive this inheritance. You see, there's a lot of Christians who want this inheritance, but they don't want to be separated from the world. They want the world, and they want their inheritance. They want everything. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, there's conditions to this will. There's conditions to it. The same as anyone. You see, when you write a will out, you put conditions to those your will. I know when I wrote my will out, there were conditions put to that will. You see? Because not everything is straightforward. You have to have much wisdom about leaving a will. How it's to be left. Who it's to be left to. Maybe sometimes they've got to reach a certain age before they receive. Or whatever it is. So there are conditions to a will. If you've made any will out yourself, you know full well there's conditions in your will. And so it's exactly the same with the will of the Father that he's given to Christ. He says, now, go and reap that seed, but there's conditions to this will. And I'm going to tell you one of the main conditions, and that is they have to be sanctified. They've got to be separated. They've got to come away from the world in order to receive their inheritance. You see? Now, why would God do such a thing like that? Well, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Very simply, because the devil also knows how to bless for a season. Mind you, his blessings aren't really blessings, because those that he tries to give money to and bless, they just become covetous. And as we know what the scripture says, that it is very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I have no problem with a Christian that's rich, but they're rich because Christ has made them rich, wealthy, and they're also separated from the world. In other words, with their blessings that they have, they're not worldly with it. You see, going like the way of the world. So, you see, again, it's a balance in all of this. So there are conditions to this will. You say to me, oh, I wish I could know what these conditions are. Well, you should do. You hold it in your hand. You've got the Word of God, haven't you? There it is. And we labour with regards to these conditions, don't we? We teach you week after week how to receive one way or another. And should be receiving, you see. So he's left us his will, and we're the benefactors of Jesus' will. Now, I believe that Jesus' will has two aspects to it. And I've been giving this over the weeks, but I'll just give it to you briefly. In simple terminology, and that is that a certain amount in this life is to be received and the rest is to come in eternity. Now, I don't know how much you've got in this life, but I know this, that it says in the Word of God that you can receive 100-fold in this life. So as far as I'm concerned, that'll keep you busy enough. Yeah. Hey? It sure will. I mean, if my mind thinks of what 100-fold is, I tell you, that's enough in this life. You say to me, oh, but Pastor, if that were only true. If that were only true that I had 100-fold in this life, well, keep with it and you'll receive 100-fold. I'll tell you maybe why you haven't got 100-fold yet. And it's very simple, because if God now gave you 100-fold now, you wouldn't want him anymore. That's why. Your affections would become different. So maybe some of you have got 50. Some of you may have got 30, 60. But don't stop at that. You go for the 100-fold. Because that's what he says in the Word of God. But he's not going to give it to you straight away. Because he knows the heart of man only too well, you see. So there's our inheritance. It has two aspects. You've got some in this life and you've got the rest to follow in eternity. Now, for our faith to be effective, we must see that in Hebrews 11:1, we are confident of what we hope for. Now, I touched on this, didn't I, before. When we read this, I'll just turn to it very quickly and read it to you again. In Hebrews, where was it now? Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of rewards. Now, there are many in this hour who are casting away their confidence of faith. And I showed you that if it's faith, and you know it's faith, then there is a confidence about you, there's an assurance, there is a knowing that it is faith. There is a knowing you have it in Jesus' name. And he said, that is the very thing that you are not to cast away. That's why we have this principle of Mark 11:24, that wherefore whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you received. And if you know you've received, even though it hasn't come yet into the sense realm, but it's still in the sixth sense realm, that's where it is, and that's where it should be every time. You see, the moment you settle on the word of God and say, Father, I thank you, I believe I have this now in the name of Jesus, you should know that the sixth sense, that realm of faith, should be working and in operation. And everything should be working. Everything should be known. The same as when we're going to drink a cup of tea or a cup of coffee later on, and a biscuit, your taste buds will know exactly what you're eating or drinking. You see? If I give you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, your taste buds tell you immediately what it is, don't they? You see? And so, how much more with the realm of faith? That sixth sense. You should know immediately if it's faith. Because God's given it to you, you see. And he says, that is the very thing you should never cast away. Now, why does he say this? Well, because he says he knows that the devil is going to try and attack that. He knows that the devil is going to try and twist that. And so that is the very confidence you have in the word you never cast away. Because that is the sign. You see. Now nobody in their right mind, if they've been born again, filled with the Spirit, are going to cast away Jesus from their life. Why, you'll be mad. I mean, I'd say to anybody, you just don't know what you're doing. And you see, we can do that with faith. We say, oh well, I wouldn't do anything as drastic as that. Well, praise God for his mercy that he still keeps us with him. But it is still pretty bad when you cast away those promises that God has given to you and that you indeed are settled upon and received by faith in Jesus' name. And because the devil comes along and starts to growl a bit and starts to suggest something else, do you start casting it away? No. You just stand and stay with it and say, well, I am still convinced. But as I've said many times, you make sure you're convinced. Make sure that you've got a true confidence. There's a lot of people in life who are confident. They're on the stage. They're actors, performers. Some of them hold positions of authority, politicians. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I wish I got your confidence. Oh, they're so confident. Well, I've found a lot of the times that very confident people actually are quite insecure. Deep down. You see? And yet we can get this confidence so twisted. And we can see people, oh, just listen to them. Oh, listen to their confession. They're speaking faith and confessing that they're healed and blah, blah, blah. Well, I've not always ever been convinced by that. Now, I'm all for a positive confession, don't get me wrong. I don't want to hear the negative. We shouldn't speak the negative. But those who are actually working at being positive, I'm always a little bit suspect. You don't have to work at being positive. If you are positive in your heart, it'll know how to speak. It'll know what to do without you ever having to work at it. And so, you see, that's the very thing he says, don't cast that away. That inner assurance, that inner confidence that sometimes is only known between you and the Lord and the devil. He says, don't cast that away. Oh, sometimes we're attacked. Sometimes we feel a bit weak. But he said, do not cast that away. Now, the reason I say this is because I have found many times in the grace and love and mercy of God when we've missed it in faith, God has often said to us, okay, you've missed it. Come on, get back up on that horse and carry on riding. You've fallen off, but get back on. Come on. We'll do it. You see, I have found many times God has done that in my life. He needn't have. Because when it's unbelief, it's sin. When you miss it, it's sin. You've absolutely thrown it in God's face. You know? And yet I have found that he has come back and he's saying, okay, you've missed it. Do you believe that I'll give you another chance? You know? I've found many times God gives us another chance. Because he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to get it right. He wants you to have that confidence. He wants you to stand strong in faith because he knows it's needful for the future. And so none of us are without any excuse in this assembly. None of us can accuse the Lord that, he didn't give me a chance. No. God is ever going to influence you to remain confident in the faith. To ever carry on seeking him and overcoming and just to settle upon these principles, settle upon the blessings and the promises that God has given to us in his word. And there are things in the word of God we know that you're not ready yet for. Some of you may be ready for it, others are not. We're all at different levels. That's why I say if somebody stepped out in faith on a particular area or been blessed to whatever it is, don't ever start saying, well, if they've done it, so can I. Because you're looking at that in the carnal. You're not understanding what it is to step out in faith. It may be right for that brother or sister, but it may not be right for you. God may cause you to step out in faith in different ways and in different areas, because we're all different. We don't all follow the same. We don't all look the same here this morning, do we? We all have a different personality, a different character. We've got different jobs. We come from different backgrounds. God is a God of variety, so that variety of manifestations of faith is different. The principles are the same. The basis to the receive is the same. But what I'm trying to say fundamentally is, don't step out on what God has done for me, unless you know. Now all our steps of faith and blessings should indeed minister and encourage other saints. But because God has blessed me in a certain way, I shouldn't start putting that upon you. Well, I've done this in faith and I've done that in faith. Why is it you can't do that? Well, it might not be for them, you see. I mean, we have to remember that the desires of our hearts all differ. You get that if you delight yourself in the Lord. So some of your desires and my desires are different. We can't have all the same desires. As we'd all be coming with all the same blessings, wearing all the same clothes, driving the same cars, having all the same job, how boring it would be. I tell you, that's what sects, cults start doing. That's what communal living starts doing. They all want to start dressing the same. And looking the same. And sharing the same. Having all the same jobs and everything. No. You've only got to look at life. You've only got to look at nature. You've only got to look at God's creation. He's a God of variety. You see. But the principles are all the same. Yes, we all have to settle and believe on the principles. Yet the manifestations of the principles all are diverse beyond words. You see? No two sickness is the same. Yet we all need healing at the end of the day, don't we? If we're sick or battling or whatever it is. You see? That's why I said in these teachings that Christians are the only people who have a sixth sense, and that is faith. That world out there only has five senses. You do not have five senses. You have six. And remember that, friends. Because that is going to help you. And you're going to find that that sixth sense that's been given to you, which is a gift, that sixth sense does not like your five senses. And your five senses do not like that sixth sense. They do not like one another. So don't try and befriend them. Don't try and marry them off. Don't try and plan and scheme, because it's getting a bit tough. And the five senses have fallen out with the sixth sense, and the sixth sense has fallen out with the five senses. And I can't handle this. They don't like one another. They don't. Fire and water do not like one another. The devil does not like God, and God does not like the devil. And you'll never get them to agree. A man wouldn't even try and attempt that one, would they? I mean, I don't know of anybody in this world that's praying for the Lord and the devil to make peace. To come back together in harmony. I mean, do you know anybody in this world who's on their knees praying and interceding for that? Huh? I don't know of anyone. Do you know why not? Because there's nothing in the Word of God that says you can do so. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You couldn't even release faith on that. So why do we try and do it where faith is concerned, you see? For our faith to be effective, we must see it is indeed Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence. We say to me, oh, what is the evidence? Here it is, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see yet, you see? And we are convinced because God cannot what? Lie. That's why you're so convinced. If you love the Lord and you know Him, you know He cannot and He will not lie. And that's what convinces you, friends. You see, people who are honest and who do not lie and have got a good moral character and uprightness, you're very convinced by that person. You're very influenced by that person, you see. That's why respect amongst people and amongst Christians is very, very important, because it has a very influential aspect to it. It's the way we're made. And so if we're understanding God and loving Him, we're going to respect the fact that He never will lie. What He has said will come to pass. And if He says that He will bless you, if He says He will heal you, He will do that. He will not lie. And the trouble is, we are not convinced enough yet of that. And that's why I don't think we're seeing some of the healings we should be. That's why we're not seeing some of the things that we want to see. We're still not quite sure yet to trust Him. Now, I'll be quite frank and honest with you. That's been an area I've had to really work out with God. I had to come clean with the Lord one day and said, Lord, I just don't trust You yet. I am still not convinced yet. And it's not your problem, it's my problem. I'm looking too much to the world, too much to the carnal. I'm being affected too much. It's something I need help with. You're going to have to help me to work this one out. Because I knew I would never have a strong faith. All the while, I could never really be completely and utterly convinced of God's faithfulness. And that is something you have to work out with God if you are to stand in faith in this end time. Particularly to believe for healing and deliverance and so forth. And I think maybe that's where areas of unbelief are still holding in lives and fears. Some of you may still be battling with fear, and I'll tell you why it's fear. Because you're still not convinced yet, really deep down, you haven't really settled it yet, that God is true to His Word. You're still just not quite sure. You're still a little bit thinking, I think He is a liar. I think He does lie. You see? That's really what you're saying. So that is something, again, you need to come clean before the Lord on. And I know He's working with this, because I know He's working it in my life. You see? But that is how we have a strong faith. We're absolutely influenced. We're convinced without a shadow of a doubt that God cannot and will not lie. You see, so many people think of faith as irrational today. That's why they regard us as cults, weird, strange. Well, of course, they'll never understand it because they don't have that sixth sense. It'll always sound peculiar, but I want to assure you that faith is the most rational thing you could ever comprehend. Amen. This life actually is irrational. Things around you are irrational. You know why they're irrational? Because they're not going to last. They die. Things live for a season, then they die. And they're passed away and go back to dust. Well, there's nothing more irrational than that, surely. When you think about it. So faith is the most rational thing that we can ever encounter, because we have the greatest evidence. You hold this morning the greatest evidence that man could ever be given in the universe. And that is the Word of God. That is the greatest evidence. Not medical science, or what technology and science and all the advancements that they boast themselves in and the things that they're doing. And here's the evidence. Look at it. Look at this latest computer. Yes, they're getting computers that can talk now. Or what technology and science and all the advancements that they boast themselves in and the things that they're doing. And here's the evidence. Look at it. Look at this latest computer. Yes, they're getting computers that can talk now, can hold conversations with them. Building computer brains into them. Have you ever heard them speak? It's awful. Yes, it does. It sounds just like a robot. Fancy holding a conversation with something like that.
Tell you.
Oh, and man thinks that's wonderful. Wonderful. Look at the science. Look at the evidence. Look what I've built. I'm good at building Tower of Babels. And all it does is lead more and more man becoming confused.
Confused.
If that's not irrational, I don't know what is. No, faith is the most rational thing you could ever encounter. Why? Because you have the greatest evidence and you need no more evidence. Yet God does. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and comforts us and everything. But what more do you need when you hold this? There's the greatest evidence that man could ever have. You see? It's God's word. You know, someone said that faith is being so convinced of the absolute truth declared in his word that we act on it. That's what it is. You are so convinced. You are so affected. You are so moved by the word of God. You are so convinced it is God. It has such an impact in your life that you act upon it. Faith. That's what it is. Let's face it, it doesn't always have that, does it? Eh? And yet we can go out, we can see things, and we can look at something. Let's face it, some of you done it this week, or over the last, let's say the last month, let's take up buying clothes. Eh? Now we all like to buy clothes, we all like to have something new. And so what do? You go along and say, oh, I like that. You know, and especially the sisters, they like to go together, don't they? They like to have a second opinion, you know. Particularly if they're buying something nice, they like one or two of them to go together, you know. And so they're having a good days out, go out and have some shopping and whatever it is. And you're walking along and going through the store and suddenly, there it is. Isn't it? You just know that's right, eh? Now a lot of people who've got good sense in clothes or dress or whatever it is, there is something that you know is right. Now, I'm a believer you should pray for these things. If you know the Lord's going to bless you with a nice dress or suit or whatever it is, give it over to the Lord, and I'll tell you, the Lord will never let you down. He may be the last one on the peg, but God reserved that for you. But you know it's right. And you look at that and say, I know that's me. I know, you know, but sometimes you don't even have to put it on. You know. Now, what's happened is, that's been made has moved you
has affected you, has convinced you that that is so good that you could wear that.
See? Because we're not going to wear anything, are we? Eh? We're very particular about what we want to wear. And so you're influenced by us, and all the old five senses are in operation, looking and feeling and touching and, you know, quickened. And then you know in your heart, thank you, Father, that's for me. You blessed me with that. You've been convinced, so convinced that you've been prepared to hand over £50, £100,
150? What?
For a skirt? Well, it is handmade. I think it is for that price. See, you're so convinced that you're even prepared to pay those amounts. You know? And I tell you, you can go into thousands. I mean, they're, you know, you can go into thousands as far as buying clothes are concerned. But what am I getting to? I'm just simply getting to this, that if that convinces you, how much more this? That's what I'm trying to say. Let's get things in balance. Let's get priorities right. You see. Again, it comes back to an attitude. It comes back to how we approach these things. So this sixth sense of faith is to help us and encourage us, you see. And that's why the Holy Spirit is coming to your life to lead you and guide you and teach you, because he wants to try and influence you that you are so convinced, you are so affected, so moved by the Word of God, you say, praise God, I'll buy it. And I can prove to you I'll buy it. I'll give my life up for it. Because you can't give up any more than that, than your life. You are so convinced, you are so moved, that you're going to put your whole life into this, the Word of God. That's it. Sold the lot. Sold the lot. But I even want to take us a step further with faith and it being the sixth sense. Our sixth sense of faith is to help and encourage obedience. Because really, obedience is the key to receiving. Someone said, well, what is faith? Can you describe it? Well, you could say very simply, faith is obedience. What do you mean by obedience? Well, it's simply being so convinced by what you read here that you decide to obey it. You're so convinced and so moved by it that it even bypasses and influences your five senses on how you feel. Because disobedience is only a fact that you want the five senses to have their own way. That's all it is. You see? And all of this, friends, as I've been teaching over the years, it comes out of fellowship with the Father. As you have fellowship with him, as you seek him daily, and as you are moved by him, so this obedience is worked in your life. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. I think, you know, to have an obedient faith, I think you need to settle on this one thing, that God is so sovereign that he can work through anything and anyone. And it's not trying to retaliate or fight against that. Because the moment you sort of say, oh, well, he thinks he's sovereign, does he? He thinks he can do all things. He thinks he can work through me both to will and do for his good pleasure. Right. I'll show him. I'll show him he's got a tough one here. You know? And I'll show him that I too can be sovereign. You know? Friends, you're on a downward slope. Forget it. Don't even attempt that one. Because that will lead to rebellion. It will lead to you landing in the lake of fire and brimstone. Yet we still try and do it sometimes, don't we? And that's why I'm a great believer to talk out these things with the Lord and tell him how you feel. And sometimes you have to just be honest and tell him, I don't want to bow the knee in this. And then you have to find out why you don't want to bow the knee. And then the Lord begins to work with you and show you what the problem is. But praise the Lord, I tell you, I've never known anyone, when they have bowed the knee, I've never known anyone in this walk to regret it. When they bowed the knee, they said, oh, praise the Lord. Why I try to fight, why I try to resist, I'll never understand. But the blessing that's come, the peace that's come, I tell you. And you almost get to the point where you're looking forward to bow the knee. That's how you can come. That's what I want in my life. I want to come to a place where I look forward to bow the knee, to obey God. Because of the peace and the blessing that comes in it. And it brings me closer to Him in fellowship. You see. Oh, I tell you, the five senses don't like that one. Of course they don't. But that is how faith is going to operate. That's how you have a strong faith. Faith is obedience. It's just trusting the Lord, yielding to Him, say, all right, Lord, have your way. Have your way. It's what I want. And as you obey Him, as you meet with Him daily, fellowship with Him, talk with Him, exalt Him, worship Him, praise Him, you're going to suddenly find that there are some desires God's going to put in your heart. And He's going to bless you. As He says in Psalm 37 verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in Him. Be pleased with Him. You know, don't come before the Lord, oh, it's a drudge, oh, I better have prayer time, you know, I'm a bit late today with it. Oh, I suppose I better get in the Word. I've got to give 20 minutes in this at least. You know? Oh, friends, what a way to walk with the Lord. I've met people like that. They've got to do it out of duty. I tell you, God doesn't want His people following Him out of duty. It's because they want to, you see. It's very religious, those that are dutifully bound, you know? What does it say in Exodus 15:26? 15:26, book of Exodus. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's the principle. Do you want to keep in good health? Protection, obey the laws. What can be simpler? I mean, that is the principle. If I fall ill, or I'm battling symptoms, friends, I don't try and come over in a sense, oh, well, praise the Lord, you know, trial of my faith. No, I say, Kim, is there disobedience in you? Is there sin? Is there something else that I'm not seeing, that I need to see? See, I regard these things because I know what the Word of God says. I know the Word of God says that I shouldn't be sick. Now, we never point the finger here, but let's just take it what it says. The principle says, the principle is here, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, that means you really have an ear for this, not just listening, but you're listening with both ears and the heart, really taking it in, and seeking Him, then He says there shouldn't be sickness. And give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. Oh, friends, that's probably where it is, let's face it. He says, keep all His statutes. I don't think there's any of us here yet can put our hands up where we're saying, where we can say honestly from our hearts, well, praise the Lord, I keep all God's statutes. Hey? And we're all laughing and looking at one another, see if any hands have gone up and whatever it is, because God's working with us. So little wonder why at times sickness still comes knocking at the door. See, God's shown us clearly this morning why it is we still battle. But not all is lost. Faith isn't lost. Don't cast away the confidence of your faith. He that endures to the end shall be saved. We're all leading towards perfection, even Paul said that. But one day, friends, it has to go. It's a purity, it's a motive of the heart. It's obeying God. You see, for faith to work, It has to be our wills with his will, our hearts with his heart, his purpose,
our purpose, if faith is to work. It's a complete merging of one will, his will and our will. No two wills. It becomes one. When Jesus merged his will with the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was ready to go to the cross. And even the devil couldn't stop him. And when your will merges with the will of the Father and they become one, then friends, watch out. Because I believe that's when groaning creation is begun to be released, set free. All we desire, all we want, and all we're believing and aiming for is his will to be our will. That is obedience, friends. And he's working in that in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. That's faith. That's a strong faith. And he's going to do it through the working of the cross as he deals with you, yourself, your planning, your scheming, your wants. As that goes to the cross and dies, so the will of the Father is your will and the two become one. That's where the marriage is going to be. That's where the coming together of the Father and his people in marriage, the unity and the oneness, it's in a oneness of wills. Obedience. So when one mentions faith, you're really mentioning obedience. Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Or really what it means, those that walk in obedience. He says he will not withhold anything. Nothing. Friends, isn't that worth obeying even in itself? How about Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay upon all those who hate thee. So he says he's going to take all the curse of Babylon off of us. And what do we come out of? Babylon, Egypt. That's why we believe in divine health. That's why we don't want to go to the arm of the flesh and take pills and everything. Because that's Egypt. That's what they're plagued with. All these drugs they keep pumping into people. They take one and they've got to take another to counteract it. And another one to counteract that. Because all the while it's giving side effects. I remember I used to have antibiotics. When I used to have viruses and these flus and whatever. And I can always remember, when I used to take antibiotics, invariably, it used to bring me into deep depression after it. That was the effect that it used to have. And I had to take myself through deliverance from that. I would go down and, and feel just depressed and just so under par. And that's what it used to have. I used to have to stop taking them. Now, I've heard this before from other people. That antibiotics have caused people to go into deep depression, you see. So, you know, we're away from that route. We don't desire to walk in that realm anymore. That's how Egypt goes, you see. But I tell you, friends, to be released from the gods of medical science, you better settle to the fact that it's a walk of obedience, if that's what you want. Now, if you're struggling with obedience or it's not something you really want in your life, then forget it, friends. Don't start trying to come over, oh, well, we're in faith and we're not taking the tablets and blah, 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 because the devil knows. Because he knows full well you don't really want to obey God. I tell you, don't play around with that. We should all have settled in our hearts, Lord, it is my desire above everything to obey you, and it's what I want. And I've just ask you to take over and do whatever it takes to achieve that. If you've settled that one, friends, then you are qualified to start walking completely by faith. If you've never settled that one, I'll tell you now, don't try it. Please. Because I don't want to have to pick up the bits. Don't try it. Because I'll tell you, it'll backfire. Because the devil knows. He knows. He knows when there are people who still want to rebel and resist God. They are prime targets for the devil to get in and bring disease and sickness and death. And there they are, confessing away. Oh, we're obeying and trusting the Lord when their life is rebelling against God. I mean, who are they kidding? Who are they fooling? I mean, even the world out there can see. Here we've got people in our circles, oh, we're in the faith, we're overcomers, and yet the way they're living is unbelievable. I mean, do they think we're that stupid? And no wonder it doesn't work. No wonder they're not right with God. No wonder God's got them to one side. Well, I'm not saying we should give up on them. Pray. But there are some that should be even here this morning and not here this morning. Because it's disobedience in their life. Rebellion in their life. And that's why they're not here. God's had to put them to one side. And that's the grace and love and mercy of God, because he dare not let them go on anymore. Getting them confessing and this and that, when they could be struck down with death. You see. I tell you, friends, I have prayed that sometimes. When I have seen sometimes they've sat for years and still rebel and still disobey and refuse to bow the knee, I've said sometimes, Lord, remove them and in your grace and mercy put them to one side and deal with them, because it is dangerous them coming to these meetings and listening to this. I've prayed that, friends, and God has honoured that prayer. I haven't given up on them. No, I haven't given up. But I've just said it's too dangerous. Because they don't want to bow the knee. There's too much rebellion there. And they're playing with fire. You see? Now, we're not talking about if you've missed it, and you've repented, and you're calling out to God. I'm talking about those who are deliberately resisting the hand of God when they know what God is really saying. And they know it. Because I've counseled with some of them. And it's as though, well, I know I've got a problem in this area, and I know, you know, the Lord show me whatever, but there's nothing there to sort of, there's no real desperation, there's no real brokenness there. Say, look, I've got this problem, and I really want to obey the Lord on this. You know? But they don't come over that way. Oh, well, the Lord knows. Just that attitude. I tell you, it's dangerous when they apply that attitude. See? And I've seen it, and it's going on in our circles. Some of you have shared with me, some that you know, and that are going through these things. And it's just the grace and love of God that's put them to one side at the moment. He won't bring them under this anointing in these meetings. He dare not. Because it can be a matter of life and death. As I've said before, you do not play about with this. You have to know. Before Almighty God, you see. Romans 12:1, we know that very well. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. That's the key to this. As I said before, you can do no more than present yourself to him. That is a sign that it's his will you want and not your will. That is a clear sign when you've done that. What about Isaiah 19, verse 20? Isaiah 19 and verse 20. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Saviour and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And that's what it is. God sometimes has to permit people to become very oppressed before they bow the knee and call out for real deliverance and healing. You see? That's why we don't give up too quick on people. I don't believe in just writing Ichabod over people. Sometimes God's love and grace and mercy, he's going to put them to one side, but I tell you, he's going to break them. He's going to break them. It's only because he loves them. And it's very painful to watch it, you see. And all that is, what is it? Obedience. That's really it. It's obedience. But in closing, I found that a lot of the acting of our faith is actually in praise. You know, as I said earlier, when you see the Word of God, you've got it here, you should be so convinced, so influenced, so moved, that you act upon it. But you see, the thing is, praise is also very important. Now listen to this. I'm going to go take your mind back to when you buy some clothes. You bought your garment, you got it all packaged up, you come home, you know, and you're thinking, oh, praise the Lord, he's really blessed me with this, but you're a little bit cautious about the price you've paid for it. And of course, you get indoors, and what happens is, you know, the family can say, oh, you look really happy and very pleased. Oh, I am, you know, and there they see the package, say, well, what have you bought? You know, well, it's like this. I went shopping and I sought the Lord about this, and he's really blessed me with this dress. And she gets it out and she's really happy and holds it up there. Well, what do you think and everything? And yeah, very nice, but how much? Well, you know, it's, and you see, well, the Lord blessed me with it. Yeah, the Lord blessed you with it, but how much? You know, and eventually it comes out, you know, and or whatever it is. But what am I saying? The thing is, she's really happy. She's blessed. She's joyful. Friends, shouldn't you we be the same like this? When we see in here that God says, by his stripes we're healed, the first thing you should say, praise the Lord. He says, I'm healed. I'm happy. Joyful. Oh. Poor old me. It's always me that seems to go through this. I'm the one that goes through this. Why didn't it happen to some of the others and whatever? Friends, you've lost it. You're not convinced by what the Lord says. You haven't even bought it. You don't even own it. If he says this, then praise the Lord. Count it all joy. Rejoice. For it's yours. They're always the clear signs if you've got it. The same as when you bought that garment or that new house, that new car or whatever it is. Haven't you seen brothers when they buy their new cars? Yes, I'm also the same, you know. You don't want to go and tell people, oh, come out and have a look at this new car I've got, but you are hoping they're going to recognise it. And so they come along and say, pray the Lord, got a new car? Yes, I have. And so, you know, I mean, you think there's something wrong if somebody's got a new car out there and say, come on, have you got a new car? Lord's bless you with a new car. Oh, yes. Do you like it? Oh, yes. You know, is it what you wanted? Oh, yes. You know, that's all you're saying. You think, well, they're not very happy, are they? You know, I mean, I'd be happy with something like that. I mean, we do that over ourselves. We do that with healing, blessing, finances, or whatever it is. Oh, well, it's what the Lord says. You know? Praise the Lord. It makes sense, doesn't it? You know, I tell you, the Lord knows how to show us up. He knows how to just show us where we go so wrong at times. If it's faith and you've been convinced by this, then you are so confident you keep in that place of rejoicing, praising and thanking the Lord, counting it all joy, even when it goes from bad to worse. Why? Because you're so convinced of what the Lord has said in his word. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, again, we thank you this morning that you are convincing us yet more, and we truly are grateful for this. But Lord, our complete desire through these studies have been that we might learn obedience. And it will be your will and not our will. And it will be a two merging of the wills, becoming one, that you may be glorified. I pray that you'll grant this to everyone who hears this teaching. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.